I didn't know Vassar Clements was born in 1928 till I was writing an obituary on him. This story is about a young fiddler, and it was written in 1928. Could have been about Vassar. It's lonesome all the time. Up in the mountains, it's lonesome for a child. Whippoorwill's calling as the sap runs wild. I was born in the mountains. Lonesome born. Raised running ragged with the cockleburrs and corn. I never knew my pappy. Maybe I never should. I think he was a fiddle made of mountain laurel wood. I never had a mammy to teach me pretty please. They told me she was a whippoorwill, a skittin' to the trees. I never had a brother nor a whole pair of pants. But they used to say, when he starts to fiddle, oh, you gotta start to dance. Fiddle, kingdom come, kingdom come. Listen to the frogs a-chunkin', jug-a-rum, jug-a-rum. Hear that mountain whippoorwill being lonesome in the air. Let me tell you how I traveled down to the Essex County Fair. Now, Essex County, they got a mighty pretty fair. All the smarty fiddlers from the south come there. Elbows flying, they rosin up the boat for the first prize contest in that Georgia Fiddler's Show. There's old Dan Whelan, with whiskers in his ears. He's been the kingpin fiddler nearly 20 years. And Big Tom Sargent, with his blue walleye. And little Jimmy Weezer, he can make a fiddle cry. Oh, they're all sitting around, spitting high and strutting proud. Tuning and tuning with the judges, told the crowd. Well, then they get the mostest claps, they'll win the bestest prize. Everybody's waiting for that first twiddly D. And then comes a stumbling hillbilly me. I bowed right pretty to the judges and the rest. Took a silver dollar from the hole inside my vest. I plunked it on the table. And I said, now there's my calling card. Anyone that licks me, they're gonna have to fiddle hard. And old Dan Whelan, he was laughing fit to holler, and little Jimmy Weezer yells out, there's one dead dollar. Big Tom Sargent, he had a yellow toothy grin, but I took my whippoorwill spang out, tucked it underneath my chin, and I petted it and tuned it, until those judges said, begin. Well, Big Tom Sargent, he was the first in line. He could fiddle all the bugs off a sweet potato vine. He could fiddle down a possum from a mile-high tree. Fiddle up a whale from the bottom of the sea. You could hear hands clapping till they spanked each other raw. When he finished his variations of turkey and straw. Jimmy Weezer was the next to play. He could fiddle all night, he could fiddle all day. He could fiddle chills, he could fiddle fever. He could make a fiddle rustle like a lowland river. He could make a fiddle croon like a loving moon. And they clapped like thunder when he finished strumming. Well, then came the ruck of the bobtail fiddlers. You know, the Let's Go Easies and the Fair the Middlers. They got their claps and they lost their bicker. And then they all settled back for some more corn liquor. Tired of the no-count squealing, went out in the center, stepped old Dan Whelan. He fiddled high and he fiddled low. Listen, Buffer Willie, you gotta spread your wings. He fiddled with a chain with bow. Old Dan Whelan, he's got bee honey on his strings. He fiddled the wind by the lonesome moon. He fiddled the most almighty tune. He started fiddling like a ghost. He ended fiddling like a host. When he was finished, when he was finished, the crowd cut loose. I sat there wondering, what's the use? But I stood up pert and I took my bow and my fiddle, went to my shoulder so, and I thought, well, there ain't no crowd. There ain't no crowd to get me phased, 'cause I was alone where I was raised. Up in the mountains, so still it'll make you scared. Where God was sleeping in his big white beard. And I thought, well, they fiddled the rose and they fiddled the thorn. But they haven't fiddled the mountain thorn. They fiddled sinful and they fiddled moral. But they haven't fiddled that brushwood laurel. They fiddled loud and they fiddled still. They still haven't fiddled the whippoorwill. So I started off with a dump diddle dump and all hell broke loose in Georgia. Skunk cabbage growing by a bee-gum stump. Whippoorwill, you're singing now. Yeah, my mother was a whippoorwill pert. My father, he was lazy. But I'm hell broke loose in the new store shirt to fiddle on Georgia crazy. Swing your partners up and down the middle. Sashay now, listen to my fiddle. Flap deck fiddle on a red hot grill. And hell's broke loose, hell's broke loose. Fire in the mountains, snakes in the grass. Wave your bonnet, oh Lord, let him pass. Blow down Moses, set my people free. Pop goes away the only old Red Sea. Jonah's sitting on a hickory bough. Up jumps the whale, where's your prophet now? Wrapping the pea patch, possum in the pot. Trying to stop my fiddle, and my fiddle's getting hot. Sing to the mountains with a whippoorwill. Sing to the valleys and slip on the hill, 'cause you're strutting high as an eagle's quill. And hell's broke loose, hell's broke loose, hell's broke loose in Georgia. You know something? There wasn't a sound when I stopped blowing. But somewhere or other, the dawn was growing. And I thought, well, you fiddled all night, and you've lost. Hillbilly, you fiddled all night, and you lost. You're pretty good, but you've been bossed. So I went over to congratulate old man Dan. When I walked up to him, well, he reached out, and he put his fiddle. He put his fiddle into my hands. And that's when the noise of that crowd began.
That was John McEwen and the Mountain Whippoorwill, taken from his latest album, The Newsman. You are tuned into the Whiskey and Cigarettes Show in the company of your Cabo Casanova, Remy the Rodeo, and the Italian Dijonek. And my people, it's truly an honor and a pleasure to welcome the show today, the one, the only, John McEwen. Hey, John, how are you today?
This is the replacement AI version of John McEwen. I hope it looks okay. I'm fine. Sorry.
I love that. Very, very witty indeed. We're very, very happy, of course, to have you with us today, John. You know, and you're back here with a fantastic new album, The Newsman. And of course, we just heard The Mountain Whippoorwill. Now, when it comes to this song in particular, how did it come about, and are there any stories behind it?
Well, Steve Martin, you familiar with him, the comedian actor?
Of course, yeah.
He and I are friends since high school. We both started playing banjo at the same time. And he likes to recite things like Music Man, you got trouble, my friends, right here in music. You know, it's just, you know, that speech from Music Man, you know, and he latched onto this poem and I started playing the banjo behind him. And then he couldn't play the banjo and do the poem, but I learned to do the poem with the music, and he had to drop it because as he got successful as a comedian, he'd start it and people would start laughing. Up in the mountains, it's lonesome all the time. Oh, this is going to be funny. Up in the mountains, it's lonesome for a child. I wonder where he's going with this. Up in the mountains in the fog, everything's as lazy as an old hound dog. It's not funny. So I started doing it in 1974. And I did it for 20 years with the Dirt Band. And I'm really proud of the fact that the first recording I did of this was in 1974. And you know who Brooke Shields is, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're in Italy. I know Italy. My wife and I have been there, gosh, 10 times, 9 or 10 times.
Nice.
And I was at a party in Hollywood and Brooke Shields walks in. And I said to my friend, Kevin, I didn't know you knew Brooke Shields. Oh, yeah. Well, would you introduce me to her? And he called her over and she goes, oh, you don't have to introduce me to this guy. This is John McEwen. And I couldn't believe it. What? How does Brooke Shields know my name? You know, she's explained that when she was 18 and 19, she was taking 20 units at the Princeton University. I was living in New York, going to school and modeling, and I had no time, and I couldn't go out anyway. It was too much paparazzi, and so I'd stay home, and every night I'd listen to the Mountain Whippoorwill, sometimes twice a night. And I went, well, why didn't you call? Should have called me. And it was very sweet. She really loved this poem. And so I wanted to do a different version of it, and I did here. I did this just one take.
And it's a wonderful song indeed. And heck, if it's good for Brooke Shields, it's good for anybody, I reckon, at this point. And when it comes to this new album of yours, The Newsman, what inspired you to create such a unique album like this one? And what made you decide that now was the right time to release it?
Well, I'd been collecting these pieces for the last 10 years. And it just didn't seem right to get it together and put it out. No, not. I need another cut. I need to know. Well, maybe that, you know, I was adding things to it. And I was remixing some of the songs. Like, have you heard The Cremation of Sam McGee?
Mm-hmm.
Like that one. That was this couple years working on that because, oh, I put in the sound effects in year two. But you know, it's the kind of thing where it was my hobby for a while. My hobby was to work on, I think I'll go work on the spoken word thing. And it just kind of came about to where when Tom Hanks put out the movie News of the World last year, a couple years ago, that made me go, I got to get this album done. And besides Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, which I've played with for 50 years, 50 years. Boy, that was a long trip. And they are not doing anything. And so I won't have that competition, you know, competing with my old, I left the group 4 years ago to work on solo things and to play on my own. I like to do a lot of music from Will the Circle Be Unbroken. The band existed on a democratic vote. We did one song. We did one song from the album, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And we could have done eight, and the audience would have loved it. But it's okay. We had other songs to do. And so I moved on. And The Newsman is the first album I've done in 5 years. And I'm really proud.
As well, you should be, and we're very happy that you're back. You know, with a whole new album, man. You know, it's been a while. And we're very, very happy that you know this record is out. It's really, really good. And you know, you of course mentioned having been with a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band for 50 years, so 5 decades is crazy. And what would you say are your most cherished memories of being in the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and what did you learn from this 50-year experience?
Well, I learned how to get around, because the first 12 years of the group, from 1966 until about 1978, I was the road manager too. Because when we started, I was the oldest one. I was 21 years old, and I was the only one old enough to rent a car. And since I had to rent the car, I had to drive it. And besides, he's 17, and he's 19, and he's 18, and who cares, you know, whatever. So I ended up booking hotels and flights and getting all that and handling the promoters and stuff. And over the years, I also produced concerts. I produced over 300 concerts. And it was really fun. But when you factor that over 50 years, it's not that many. It's like 3 1 year and 5 another year. But anyway, what was your question?
No, other than this, I mean, you know, of course, the second part was what are your most treasured memories of being in this band?
Thank you. I started rambling there. I would say being the first American band to go to Russia was definitely a treasured memory. We did 28 sold out shows, and they were from 2,000 to 4,000 seats in the various theaters. And one was a bike track in Armenia, and that had 5,000. But that was exciting. And 1972 album, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? That was exciting. That was when I asked Earl Scruggs. Earl Scruggs is a 5-string banjo player that made bluegrass music possible. I asked him, Earl, would you record with a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band? And he said, well, I'd be proud to. And that shocked me. That shocked me to no end. And then the next night I asked Doc Watson the same question. Well, I asked it differently. I said, Doc, we're making an album with Earl Scruggs. We weren't making an album yet, but I had to say something. I hadn't met Doc before. Earl I'd become friends with. And that led to, that was a question that I asked in June of that year. And by August 5th, we started recording, and we did 38 songs in 5 days. And seems impossible. It takes a day to get in tune now.
This is true. And definitely, you know, some amazing memories there indeed, and some great anecdotes there. Thank you for sharing those with us. And, you know, you mentioned earlier during the course of the interview that amongst your longtime friends is, of course, actor and musician Steve Martin. Now, could you tell us a little bit about your friendship, and how would you describe him as a musician?
Well, we met when we were 16 in high school, trying to get a job in Disneyland in Anaheim. And we got the job in the magic shop the same day. We worked in the Disneyland magic shop. There were two of them, and he was in one and I was in the other. We played chess by phone. I'd call him up and say, King Pawn to King Pawn 5. And he'd call back a few minutes later and say, Queen's Rook to Rook, you know, to whatever, to Bishop 3. Yeah, Bishop 3. Haven't done that for a while. And we, it was like, we started playing music about a year and a half after we got that job. I started playing banjo at 17 and a half, and so did he. And I was learning the five-string banjo faster than him, so I would show him songs. I would, hey, Steve, come over. And he'd come over to my house after work. And, you know, this is a couple of 18 and 19-year-old kids just hanging out. But Steve would only hang out for about 12 minutes, 9 to 12 minutes. And because after he'd go, okay, I got to go. I got to go. He was always like he had somebody to see. And he kept that attitude during his whole career. And one time my brother managed him when he became a comedian and actor and stuff. And one time my brother was having a meeting with Steve and Lou Wasserman, who was a head of MCA, the Universal Picture Company. And after about 8 minutes, Steve got up and says, well, I got to go. And Lou Wasserman goes, Mr. Martin, you're staying here. You sit down. I'm going to spend $9 million on a movie with you in it. And you're going to stay here until I'm done. You know, oh, okay, sorry. You know, it was just funny. I say making King Tut. Was it? You familiar with the King Tut song?
Yes, King I am. Tut. Yes.
Well, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band was the band that played on that record, and that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And Steve, I produced his album, The Crow, in 2010, and it won the Best Bluegrass Album, so Grammy. So I was proud of that.
Mm-hmm. And hey, that's a wonderful thing indeed. You know, the fact that both of you know worked on an award-winning album together. I think that's beautiful. And I know, of course, you know, you're also very much big into movie soundtracks and, you know, you've done some of those yourself and what have you. And do you have any favorite movie soundtracks and composers of all time?
I say my favorite movie soundtrack was The Good Old Boys. It was with Tommy Lee Jones and Sissy Spacek and in the middle 90s. And the man outside. Oh no, not the man outside. The a documentary for National Geographic Society about Alaska. I got an Emmy nomination for that. That wasn't. I don't know if you know Emmys over there, but it was a nice little prize. And I haven't gotten anything big, you know, in the film score business. So I figured, okay, I did that for a while. That was while I was working with the Dirt Band and doing jobs on the road. I'd get home and I'd work on this little score for a documentary or something. But it was a good thing to do because it set me up to do this album with the spoken word. The spoken word is like movies. It's like if you were blind, you could picture this being a movie. Even if you can see, you close your eyes and you can see what the story is, and the music supports it.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones was adamant about that. One of the cues I wrote for him was, he goes, "That's good music, but it's not right. It's taken away from the scene." I said, "He said you've got to make music that supports the picture, not dominates the dialogue and stuff, you know?" And that's what I tried to do with this album.
And when it comes, you know, to other, you know, film scorers and film, you know, folks who have composed, you know, soundtracks to movies, do you have any favorite composers?
Oh, Jan Zimmer is a good one. Bill Polidorus is a good one, but he's not alive anymore. We went to high school together, Polidorus. He did several movies, but Ry Cooter, I liked what he did, and he quit doing film scores. But there are a few, but I can't think of them right now. It's you know, what's the name? The guy that does Star Wars is pretty darn good. And then when you get into the film score world, you look at Henry Mancini's credits. My gosh, Oscar, 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 pages of them, you know, and things that he's done. So I was strutting in high cotton, and I don't know if that translates well, but I was overpowered. So certain types of scores I could handle, but I didn't. I was more into performing and doing other music, and that became a stronger thing to do.
And you know, and rightfully so, you named the Star Wars score, you know, of course, by John Williams, who, and he's another legend, of course, in his own right when it comes to movie soundtracks. And speaking of Oscars, of course, we recently had the Academy Awards, the 96th Academy Awards. Now, did you catch the Academy Awards at all? Was it something that you're interested in, or did you completely ignore it?
No, I didn't ignore it. I think it's an interesting thing. My brother produced 9 features. He was really good. My brother produced Steve Martin's The Jerk and other movies, Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure and things. And I like to watch the Academy Awards. I know some of the people, so that's kind of fun. And I have a dream. Did you get Jewel's theme?
Yes.
On the album? That I hope to get in a movie someday and be nominated for an Academy Award for the score. And I've seen movies go by where Jewel's theme would have worked good there instead of that song. But that song was good, but Jewel's theme is good too. I wrote that. I set up a script for me. I do that when I write songs. About, like, the Jewel's theme is the only instrumental on the album, and I put it on there because I thought, after listening to all these stories, people might, if they like stories, and maybe they have one they like to tell that would fit Jewel's theme, and they can tell it, they can play the song, and it was written with this in mind. Jules Verne, the writer, was in a graveyard talking to a friend about his young wife who had recently died. And they'd been married a short time and they had a wonderful romance. And that's the music I put behind that scene. But there's no movie.
Well, hey, maybe someday, you know, I don't know, Christopher Nolan, for example, who we recently won for directing Oppenheimer, which won Best Picture. Maybe his next project could be a Jules Verne biopic and he could use that. You know, I don't see why not. So I guess we'll have to cross our fingers and hope for sure, Bob.
It doesn't have to be Jules Verne. It can be anybody. I'm cheap.
Well, directors out there. Yeah. Well, directors out there, Nolan, Spielberg, etc. We have a song for you.
Yeah, and it can be done better. I played everything on that, and piano, guitar, and bass, and a girl that worked for me did the oboe. She did a fine job too.
It definitely is. It's a beautiful piece indeed. And when it now comes to this new year of 2024, John, of course, we're now in the third month / almost fourth month of the year. What would you say are the objectives that you've set yourself, and what would you like to see realized by the time the year is over?
Oh, I'd like to be alive. I think I will.
I'm sure you will.
I'm planning on it, but I'm glad I never did drugs. And a lot of my friends who were druggies are not around anymore. But what do I put? I hope that this album is successful. I've got a book. Where is the book? Oh, it was downstairs. The Mountain Whippoorwill. I have a children's book and illustrated of that. I have an audio book of the Life I've Picked, which is a book I wrote. You can get that on Amazon. The Life I've Picked, and I've got an audio book that's going to come out at the end of the year. And I don't know what's next. I have a couple of other kind of ideas, but I don't want to tell you now because somebody might go, oh, I like that idea. I'm going to do that. And got to be careful.
Of course, as we know, you know, for those who need a reminder as to where they can find you, you know, whether it be new music or upcoming books or anything of that nature, where can we send these folks to?
Well, you can send them, they can go to my Facebook and check that out and do a friend thing. It's a John McEwen Music, MCEUEN. Or go to, my mother thought of the website name, John McEwen. I added .net. So johnmcewen.net takes you to my website that shows a bunch of stuff, where I am, where I've been, stories, various things.
Fantastic. Well, folks, then you definitely know where to go for more John McEwen goodness. And speaking of John McEwen goodness, John, we're going to be seeing out here with another great song from the old, from the Newsman album, which will be Old Rivers. Now, when it comes to this one, any stories behind this one?
Well, before I played music in 1963, I heard this on the radio by a guy named Walter Brennan, and it really resonated with me. One of these days, I'm going to climb that mountain, walk up there among them clouds where there ain't no fields to plow. Because the guy had been plowing fields his whole life and doing a good job, and he was ready to pack it in. But he wasn't ready to pack it in completely. He wanted to go up to the mountains where there's clouds and no fields to plow. And that song resonated with me. I cut that in my home studio here and did that in about 3 hours. I was really proud of that. I wanted one more song. Why don't I do Old Rivers? Because some of these have been around. Some of these recordings have been around 10 years, 8 years. I was just waiting for the right thing to put together.
And it's definitely a great song indeed. So when we're going to bring into this great one, this will be John McEwen and Old Rivers. John, I want to once again thank you so, so much for your time. I truly appreciated it. And of course, I want to wish you continued success with your career and all the very best for 2024.
Well, thank you. My wife and I were thinking of going to Florence again this year, or India, and maybe going to San Gimignano. Nice. That's a great place.
Boy, oh, it's beautiful.
Been there three times.
Tuscany is a gorgeous, gorgeous area. Well, if ever you're in Milan, definitely give me a shout, and we'll be more than happy to hang out with you guys. Would be amazing.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Fantastic. Well, folks, you heard it from John. Go ahead.
And hello, Maurizio, my Italian buddy that's over there. He writes for a magazine and does various things. Maurizio Tomasi. He's been very helpful.
Well, we'll definitely send a big shout out to Maurizio Tommasi indeed. And on that note, of course, folks, you did hear it from John McEwen. Be sure to, of course, keep up to date with everything he has going on, because believe you me, it is very impressive stuff. We're going to be going into this great song of his. Wow. This will be Old Rivers. You are tuned into the Whiskey and Cigarettes Show with your Italian DJ Nick. We'll be right back after this.
How old was I when I first seen Old Rivers? Oh, I can't remember when he went around. Yeah, that old fella did a heap of work. Spent his whole life walking plowed ground. He had a one-room shack, not far from us. Now, we was about as poor as him. He had an old mule he called Midnight Oil. I'd tag along after them. He used to plow them rows straight and deep. I'd come along there behind, busting up those dirt clods with my own two bare feet. Old Rivers, he was a friend of mine. Oh, the sun would get high. That mule would work. Old Rivers would finally say, whoa. He'd wipe his brow and lean back on his plow and talk about a place he was gonna go. He'd say, one of these days I'm gonna climb that mountain, walk up there among them clouds where the cotton's high and the corn is growing, and there ain't no fields to plow. I got a letter today. from the folks back home. They all find the crops is dry. Down at the end, Mom said, "Son, you know old Rivers, he died." Sitting here now in this new plowed earth, trying to find me a little shade, with the sun beating down across the fields, I see that mule, old Rivers, and me. Now one of these days I'm gonna climb that mountain, walk up there among them clouds, where the cotton's high and the corn's a-growing, and there ain't no fields to plow. Oh no, there ain't no fields to plow. Well, the sun's a-beating down across the fields, I see that mule, old Rivers, and me.